and surprises. As she brings the word this morning, Pastor Sandy Hempfling, come on, let her know you love her.
Good morning. It is such an honor to get to share the word of God. We're going to start this morning. It's called, my message is called the ABCs of boldness. And so right out of the gate, I'm going to help you guys remember this message. So A is for attitude. Everybody say A is for attitude. Well, that wasn't very good. A is for attitude. Some of you guys have tudes for sure, so you can get this. B is for boldness. Okay. B is for boldness. And C is for courage. C is for courage. If you remember those ABCs, you're going to get this message this morning. Andy Nickerson, who's upstairs right now, gave me some awesome things here, and they're knives. And I'm going to just take out just one of these knives quickly. This is a double-edged knife. And so if you stick this thing in somebody, it's not only going to cut on one side, it's going to cut on two sides. And really, this message this morning is about boldness on one side and courage on the other. And they're not the same thing. I kind of thought they were, but they're not. And so when you think about boldness, what do you think about? What's the first word that comes to your mind when you think of the word boldness? I'm sorry, what? Pushy. Well, and we're going to see pushy in a minute. But so what do you think when you hear the word boldness? You what? Strong. Okay. What? Stepping out. When I hear the word boldness, I think of the word witnessing. You love that word, witnessing. And so today I've asked a few friends if they will come up now, and they're going to show us a little skit about witnessing.
Gee, it's a nice day, isn't it? Sit up, girl. That's terrible posture. What's going on with you? You're all bent over like that, young lady. Oh.
I have a migraine.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Who are you anyway? Oh, Barb. I haven't seen you in a long time. You know, I wanted to talk to you about salvation.
Could you please just stop? I have a migraine. Please just
Oh, well, you know, you're going to hurt a lot more if you don't go to heaven.
Please, just stop.
Well, I heard someplace that we're supposed to be bold, so I'm getting into that. I'm going to be bold and tell you that if you don't accept the Lord, you're going to go to hell, girl.
Well, I feel like I'm there now because you won't leave me alone.
Well, you know, I wanted to show you this pamphlet right here.
I'm not interested.
Oh, here it is, honey. This is about hell. It ain't a fun place to be.
Well, you're putting me there now.
No. Don't get sarcastic, young lady. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to be able to be in heaven when you die.
Could you just please just go away and leave me alone so I can deal with my own migraine? Go preach your religion to somebody else.
You know, it ain't no party in hell. Maybe a barbecue, for a pig roast. I wish you all the best.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
Barb. It's Betsy.
Oh, hi, Betsy.
You don't look like you're doing too good.
No, I have this massive migraine.
I'm so sorry. You know, when I've got headaches, I end up praying for the Lord to help heal me. Are you interested in my praying for you?
Prayer? What's that going to do?
Well, is it okay if I sit next to you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, what's this? Yours for life.
It's something Joan left.
Oh, Joan. Anyway, one of the things I've discovered is that when I have a hard time, particularly physical problems, but emotional problems too, the Lord can step in and pour his love out on you, and I just really believe that.
You mean the Lord loves me?
He does. He's a good, good father that loves you. He created you, Barb, and he would love to heal your headache and take care of any of the issues that are going on in your life.
Really? Well, you could pray for me then.
Okay.
Maybe this migraine will go away.
All right. Well, I'm just going to be praying for you. If you want to touch my hand, you can. If you don't want to, that's fine too. But I'm asking right now that Father God, who is a good, good God and who created you, just comes down in the Holy Spirit and removes that headache. That's why Jesus died for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, my head feels so much better. I don't have this headache anymore.
Well, that's because of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He actually died for you so that you could be healthy and well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is such good news.
It is. Would you like to learn more about Jesus?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, I don't do it with pamphlets and stuff.
That would be awesome.
Okay. Why don't we go for coffee, if you'd like? I'll pay, okay?
Okay, how about right now? Can we do that now?
I'd love it. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so which person would you rather have? Would you rather have had Joan or Betsy talk to you about Jesus? Yeah. The unfortunate part is sometimes we've all been Joans in our past. When I first got saved, man, oh my gosh, man, I was a hammer and had to get the news out. And but thank God for Betsy's, and thank God for maturity that you learn a little bit better how to share your faith. So this morning, I'm going to be talking to you indeed about boldness and about courage, something that God has continued to develop in my life. And just the two points from the skit, sometimes we can be bold and really be a bully. Do you know what I mean? We're so concerned with getting the message to people that we completely lose the love part. And the Bible says that faith works through love. It always works through love. And so God wants us to grow, not only in knowing what the gospel is, but in who the love of the Father is. And Lori, your songs were so perfect this morning, I felt like, for my message. Because like the two sided sword, not only is it boldness and courage, but it's also power and love. If you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you and the love of God in you, you are an effective minister of the gospel. So what does the word boldness actually mean? In Webster's dictionary, the definition is it's showing a readiness to take risks or face danger being daring or fearless. And I did actually earlier today, I was going to wear my I Am Fearless shirt, but I was walking my dog before I came, and this guy who's painting a house said, "Wow, your outfit matches your dog." And I thought, you know what? I'm going to throw this off. I'm not wearing it. I don't know. It was pretty weird. But anyway, Erwin McManus says in his book, A Seizing Your Divine Moment, he says that if God put an ad in the classified section of the paper, it would say something like this: wanted risk takers for God. I love that. I love that. But the reality of it is, not many of us are naturally bold, but really we're rather quite timid and afraid, or we're reserved. But God knew this when he called his disciples. He knew that that would be the case. And so he had a solution for people just like us. And that solution is the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he comes in you and fills you, can make you a powerhouse for God. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he came when Jesus went back to heaven. In John 14:16, it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might be with you forever, a teacher and a gift giver, one that fills us with both power and with love," that double-edged knife. And there's a quote from a magazine called Connections. I'm so about quotes these days. In fact, my son at college, every week I send him a quote and he sends me one back. And I actually like this so much, I sent this last week to him, and it's from a magazine called Connections. And it says, "When the heart of a child becomes aware of his father's goodness, you have a good, good father." Do you know that you need to hear that over and over? It never grows old. As we were singing that song, thank you, Jerry, and I loved your testimony, because God loves us. He doesn't love us for who we are. He loves us because we're in Christ. But it says, "When the heart of a child becomes aware of his father's goodness, there is an unprecedented awakening. Perfect love is finally known." And that's a continuing revelation in our life. It's not just a one-time happening. The enemy's deceptions of rejection lose their grip. It's incredible to experience, and it's justice for every child to experience it. Do you know that God wants you to experience his love, not just to know it up here, but to experience it? But this is the line that I love. It says, "Father's love makes someone fearless. It transforms and creates champions." I love that. I want to be a champion. I want to be a champion for Jesus. And the way that happens is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God working in us. It says in the book of Acts, and I think we have that up there, Denise, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. Yep. And this was after Jesus had just risen from the dead, but he hadn't ascended back to his Father. And this is a very familiar passage, but it says, "Just gathering them together, speaking of his disciples, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You've heard of me,' or 'from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And then again in Acts 1:7 through 8, it says, "He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And I just think it's amazing. I love the line that says, "It's not for you to know." Sometimes we want to know too much. And there's things that God doesn't even want us to know sometimes because they prove to be very detrimental. So if you're a person that has to always know everything, God just wants to set you free this morning. You can trust him, but he said, just be open to receive that power, because it's the very power that's going to make you a witness, not just in your own village and town, but in your state, in your nation, and then if he sends you to the other sides of the world. There's a power that comes in us that can make us fabulous witnesses, because that's his promise. And then again, in Acts 4, 29 through 31, it says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats." And it's speaking of the Pharisees who were threatening the disciples. And this was a prayer that they had. "Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So, sometimes we think that there's some people that are just naturally, because they're talkers, they're more gregarious. Those are the people that God's going to use to share the faith. Is that true? No. It's the power of God. When you encounter God in your life, you have something to say to people. And I was reminded many years ago, there was a young girl here, and she was probably in fourth or fifth grade, and she was so incredibly shy. And I've never forgotten this. And she went to Camp Judah, that Coley was actually praying about. Did somebody say something about Camp Judah this morning, or was that just in the prayer time? I guess it was in the prayer time. But anyway, our kids are going to Camp Judah this summer. Well, this little girl went to Camp Judah, and I don't know what happened to her, but somehow she encountered the Holy Spirit. And she came back from the camp, and she asked my husband if she could give a testimony. I was so shocked. Like, when she got up there, I don't even remember what she said, but what I remember is her willingness and her desire to get up and to tell people how God had met her. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what he wants to do in our lives. And you know, basically, he says that what I've asked you to do, I've equipped you to do. Do you believe that? Sometimes we don't feel like God's equipped us, but he said, "I've equipped you to be my witnesses wherever I have placed you." And I always love the example that Phyllis Benetti has shared many times, that God spoke to her that if she would open her mouth, God would fill it. So I want to see everybody open your mouth this morning. Come on, open your mouth. God says, if you, I like this kid right here, if you open your mouth, then I'm going to fill it. If you're sitting here and you feel like you're living a boring, mundane Christian life, something is wrong, because God has called us to a life of adventure, a life of fulfillment, but a tremendous life of risk. And because you'll never know that God's hand can step out underneath you until you step out of the boat. And today's message is to encourage you to step out of the boat. They always say about mother birds, or at least some mother birds, that birds in a nest just reach a point where the mother sometimes has to push them out of the nest. I think I'm that kind of a mother. I'm not so much the mother that's like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "Hey, okay, it's time to get out. Let's go. Fly. You can fly." And anyway, so I want to just share two things that just happened to me recently that were so amazing, and about how God can use you wherever you are to share the gospel. I was running about a month ago, and I was running by the cemetery down near where we live. It's Macpelia Cemetery. And as I was running by, there was a crew from either the jail or the prison. I'm not sure just which one it was, but there was a guard there, and there were only like three men there. And as I was running by, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to say something to these guys on the other side of the fence. And I'm like, really? Okay. So I continue running, because I run like a three-mile loop. It's not even a loop. It's down a mile and a half and back. So, you know, I'm thinking and plotting and planning as I'm hitting my just one and a half just mile marker and coming back. And anyway, I knew I'd have to talk to the guard first, and I needed his permission. So I stopped. I thought, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say something about hope. God wants to seed hope into these guys. And so I stopped, and I just waved the guard over, and I said, excuse me, but would you mind if I say something for 2 minutes to these prisoners? And the guy said, well, what do you want to say? And I'm like, oh my goodness, here we go. And before I could answer him, he turned away and he called the guys over. So I'm like, well, so they came over. One guy had a pair of dark glasses on, so I don't know what, there was no facial expression. And I just said to these guys, I said, I want you to know I was running by, and God loves you, and he wants to seed hope into your life. I said, that could have been me on the other side of the fence. It just happens to be that I'm on this side. But God, if you'll give your life to Christ, God will really do some amazing things in your life. And two of the guys' eyes were like locked right on me. So I felt like it was penetrating in, and I'm sure it was less than 2 minutes. I was like, ugh. And the guard was just standing there like, you know. But anyway, but I left there. I'll never know if, you know, what happened, but I was faithful to that word. And I kept thinking, what happens if I was in jail? What happens if I was the prisoner? Wouldn't I want someone coming telling me that there's good news? And even what Jerry shared this morning about his dad. I'm sorry. Actually, he did get victory over his alcoholism. He stopped drinking, right? And so hallelujah for that. But God loves us wherever we are, and he wants to seed hope into us. And guess what? We have a hope center now. And the reason, years ago when Jack had that vision and he saw that word hope, it's because we are to be hope bearers. If God has come into your life, you've got hope that God wants you to share. And the other thing happened on Friday this week, and this was an amazing, amazing thing. If you were here last week, Jack shared a little story about a judgment that he had that God revealed after seeing a guy that had these lime green shoes on and blue tights and the whole thing. And anyway, and how God convicted him. But on Friday night, I was at a wedding, and we were sitting at a table with eight people. And one of the couples I knew very well, it was Pastor Eric and Debbie, because he was doing the wedding. And the other two couples I didn't know, except for one of the wives I'd met at a bridal shower. When she was at the bridal shower, this lady was so shut down, and really shut down. And so I tried to be friendly, and of course, he wasn't too friendly back, and I'm like, well, okay. And anyway, so here they are at the table, and this lady had this glazed look in her eyes, like it was glazed. And so I quietly said to Debbie sitting next to me, I said, what do you think is wrong with her? And she said to me, well, I think she's on medication, Sandy, because it was really scary. And anyway, so that was that. And finally, this woman got up from the table and went with the other lady that was apparently a friend of hers. And I turned to her husband and I said, is your wife okay? And out came this story like I couldn't believe. In fact, his wife has something that there's no cure for. It's in the Parkinson's family. She might be 55 years old. And I am telling you, when he started to share this, I just, you know, here I had passed some kind of judgment about her being unfriendly, and really, she was so much worse. And he said to me, or to us, he just said, it's so rapidly happening. She could be in a wheelchair within a week. So I said to him, hey, how about if we pray for you? Because she was in the bathroom and I didn't want to embarrass her. So we prayed for this guy. And then I said to him, are you a part of a family of God someplace? Because you need people that are going to stand with you, pray for your wife, help you. And he said, no. And I said, well, where do you live? And I found out he practically lives in the back door of where Pastor Eric's church is. So I said, hey, how about you go? So I don't know if he's going to go, but I just felt like that was such a divine appointment. And I kept thinking, what happens if I hadn't asked? God loves that man. He loves that woman. And I want to believe for a miracle for her. But boy, did they need love and support. So God's always challenging us to reach out. And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. If you feel like you just need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have you come up. If you never feel like you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to give you an opportunity for that. And so boldness was the first part of that blade. The other part is courage. And C is for courage. And courage in the dictionary means the attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful instead of withdrawing from it. It means not running away. And this is so unusual. This whole part of the message came at through such an unusual thing. I was running about a week ago on Sunday, and I was running, I saw a picture in my mind of an umbilical cord. Now, an umbilical cord, we have three pregnant women here, Kayla, Logan, and Katie, an umbilical cord, and I saw a mother attached on one side and a baby on the other. But the baby had already been born. And I had this distinct impression from the picture that the mother was really hesitant for one reason or another to cut the cord. And I thought to myself, what does this mean? This is such a strange thing. So I get home from the run, and we had been invited to a dinner and that had, oh, I don't know how many people there, maybe 15 or something. And I sit down to a young woman that I haven't had a chance to talk to in a long time. And she'd had a baby about 3 months ago. And we somehow got on to talking about her pregnancy. And suddenly she started talking about her umbilical cord. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, who has conversations about umbilical cords? I'm like, this was so weird. And I knew. I just felt like it was such a confirmation to what I saw, and I knew what God was saying. That God was saying that there are things and attachments in our lives that it's going to take courage, but we need to rise up and cut them away. And so we're going to look into the Word today and find what Jesus said about attachments that are not healthy. And I want to say something. An umbilical cord when you're pregnant is very, very important because it's the very thing, it's the lifeblood that carries oxygen and nutrients and carries away those waste products such as carbon dioxide. But let me ask you something. What would happen if the mother never cut that cord? What would happen to the baby? Well, the baby would never grow into adulthood, number one, and the afterbirth would never come out, and the mother would finally get an infection and probably pass away. So we're going to do some of that later. We're going to do some cutting away. But in the book of Matthew, I love this story, and it's about the rich young ruler. It's Matthew 19, and it's 16 through 26. And I'm just going to read the story. It says, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking about just what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into eternal life, then keep the commandments. And then he said to him, well, which ones? And Jesus said,
You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept, but what am I still lacking? So the young guy recognized there was something missing from his life. Though he thought he had kept all the commandments, done all the right things, he recognized something is missing in my life. And I love how Jesus is. Often he asks us questions until we come around till we can finally hear what he has to say. So Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. You see, this guy had an attachment to his stuff. And the problem is with stuff, and there's nothing wrong with it, but the problem is it can begin to own us. And it never tells us in this story if the young man decided to follow Jesus and give away all his stuff, because the Bible is very clear, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And God has a way of getting right to the point of the problem with us. And that's what he was doing. He loved this young man. He wanted him to follow him, but he said, something is hindering you from following after me. And in your case, it's your stuff, and you need to get rid of it. And then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So did I already read that? Heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, who can be saved? And just looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's where our hope lies, is that God can bring us to a place that whatever we're holding on to, he can help us let go. And I was reminded many years ago of a young girl that lived with us for 3 years. She was a teacher, and she had some issues and some addiction issues. And she had a cat that she loved very much. So we had a Siamese cat when she moved in, and Jack is very allergic to Siamese cats. But we had her in anyway, and it came to a point where God was asking her to go to this recovery program that was in Arizona, and to do that, she had to give up her cat. And I'm telling you, she cried buckets, and it was so difficult, but she finally was able to cut the cat away, so to speak, and somebody in our church, they were like the perfect fit for that cat. And so she gave the cat to them. God made a provision. She got out to Remuda Ranch, and I'm telling you, it was amazing what happened in her life. What would have happened if she had said, I can't leave my cat? You see, God knew there was something that ultimately, she was okay for a time. God said she could have the cat. But there came a time that he said, if you're going to continue following me and get free from this, you need to give up your cat and you need to move out to Remuda Ranch. And she was willing to do it. And we just saw her come into all kinds of healing. It was amazing. Anyway, and so I'm going to go on to the parable of the dinner, which is in Luke 14. And I need to quickly go through this here. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. But at the dinner hour, he sent a slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first one said to him, I bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.
And a slave came back and reported to his master. And then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, master, what have you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. And it goes on to say, now large crowds were going along with him. Many people were following Jesus, many. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate even his own father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We know, obviously, that doesn't mean that we're to hate people, but in comparison to our love for God, everything comes underneath that. And I think that's perhaps the hardest thing of all. Our kids, the people that we love, the attachments that we have with people can so get interwoven and mixed that God is not first. In fact, the very first commandment in the Bible, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so Jesus is always wanting us to come to a place where if there are things that need to be cut away, that we're willing to do those. And so we're going to act on this word today. I have one last story I'm going to read, but I just want you to think about this. We're going to take just like 2 minutes, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit if there's anything that we're attached to that God is asking us, you need to cut this away in your life. If it's a relationship, if it's stuff, if it's your kids, if you know what I mean, you know, it's not that we're not loving our kids, but if there's something in our lives that has preeminence before God, we're going to ask him. The Holy Spirit can just put his finger on that. Maybe it's fears. Maybe it's an addiction. I mean, there could be multitudes of things. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to actually ask Patrick, if I can ask you and Jack, in a little bit, I have a rope. And so you can come up. I've got 3 knives. And you, if you feel like God is showing you something, that God, I'm making a decision today with my will. I'm making a decision that we're going to cut this away. Then you can come up and you're going to cut a little piece of that rope. And you're going to keep that rope in remembrance. You know, God, thank you for revealing this to me. And I want this cut away in my life because I don't want to hinder, I don't want to be hindered in my walk with you, and I don't want to hinder anybody else. I want to be people that set them free. Maybe it's like a cord of unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever it is, and I want to set somebody free on the other end of that cord. Whatever the issue is, I'm going to have you come forward in just a minute. So let's take just 2 minutes, and we're just going to pray. And then I'm going to finish off with this story, okay? And then I'll have anybody that comes forward. Don't wait for anybody. Just come down, get in line. You can cut your rope. And then if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit or just prayed for fresh boldness, then you come also, okay? Okay. Okay. One thing that's just struck me is I feel like, too, about fear of what people think. The only person that's important is fearing God, because in the end, that's all that matters. But I just have a quick story I'm going to read, and this is called Cut the Rope. And I heard this in our Bible study about 2 months ago, and I thought it was a true story. It's not, but it's a fantastic story. The story is told of a mountain climber. In fact, you want to put that picture up? There he is. The story is told of a mountain climber who desperately wanted to conquer the Aconcagua, I think that's how it's pronounced, the highest mountain in the Argentine Andes. He initiated his climb after years of preparation. Because he wanted the glory all to himself, he went up alone. That was his first problem right there. He didn't realize it. As the days passed and it began to get dark, he did not stop to camp for the night, but kept going. Night fell, there was no moon, and clouds covered the stars, and visibility was zero, and everything was black. As the climber neared a ridge at about 100 meters from the top, he slipped and fell into total darkness below. In those anguishing moments when he was in a free fall, memories flashed through his mind, both good and bad, and he was certain he would die. But then a jolt almost tore him in half. Like any sensible mountain climber, he had used pitons and a long rope tied around his waist to stake himself to the mountain. The top piton held, and the rope broke his fall. He groped in the darkness for the side of the mountain, but it was out of reach. And in the terrifying moments that followed, as he hung suspended, he cried out in desperation, "Help me, God, help me!" And then he heard a voice from heaven, "Cut the rope." What? Cut the rope. More stillness followed as the man held all the tighter and swung slowly back and forth, hoping in vain to make contact with the side of the mountain. Other climbers found him the next day, and he was still hanging from the mountain, frozen to death, 2 feet above a wide ledge. Unseen by him, the ledge would have been a safe spot where he could have dropped, recovered, built a small fire for warmth, and camped for the night. It's a tragic story and hopefully not true, but it illustrates a good point. Do you put your confidence in some rope or cord, or can you trust God with those things that are beyond your control? Why don't you just let go and cut the rope? For God has great and marvelous things in store for you, but you must cut the rope and simply trust him. Okay, so I'm going to take my knives out, and guys, here's the rope. Lots of rope here. So Patrick, can you come up here? There's one shorter rope, but how about if you start with that one first and we'll just see. So, lots of knives. If you feel like God showed you something that you want to cut off of your life, I want you to just come up right now and cut and just start cutting. So, anybody? Okay. Thank you. That's right. Don't be hesitant here. Take a knife. Be careful. There you go. There's one. Anybody else? Now, this is interesting just because they're all women that are coming. Thank you, John. Be a guy. Thank you. Okay. But it's not about that.
Courage.
And again, you're making a decision. I feel like God spoke to me, and I want to cut this away in my life. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be shy. Good job, Harriet. Good job. Okay, so the altar teams for today, I want you to come up. And actually, and then Phyllis and Heather, then you two can join us.
And so if you feel like you just want a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit, you want to grow in boldness, you want to be filled, I want you to come on up. Right here. Oh, over here. Just come. Thank you. Okay. Yep. Let's just come. Let's not wait for everybody else. Just come on up here. That's right. And you girls can come right, or guys or whoever's up here. You can come right across. Okay. And we're just going to believe this morning for God to pour out His Spirit in a beautiful way, filling us with power, filling us with love, filling us with gifts. Whatever it is, we're just going to believe for that this morning.
Speaking to someone is what happened if she hadn't done it. So Lord, give us, every one of us in this room, a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Grant us boldness, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. Boldness. Lord, grant us as a people fresh boldness. Give us sensitivity to your ear to hear that voice, that still small voice says, stop here, say something, speak to this stranger. Open up your mouth, I'll fill it. Open up your mouth. Lord, we open up our mouths, our heart today to value people.